The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does election in Ephesians 1, 1-4 refer to being chosen to be saved from hell, or is it something else? Does God only choose some people for eternal life? A great question. We will deal with it today here on Grace in Focus. And welcome. We're so glad you're with us. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. And you can find details on our magazine, also called Grace in Focus. A free subscription is there for you, and it is postage paid if you live in the lower 48 United States. It's a beautiful magazine, full color, 48 pages, comes out 6 times a year, and you will love it. Find it at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
We are dealing with the issue of election, Bob. And I told Bob as we were looking at this question, I like this one because Bob is the expert on this.
Yeah, right.
he's dealt with this in writings more than I have. So I'm going to defer to him and just listen to him talk a lot here. but specifically, we have a letter from Jacob. And
a different Jacob than the last one.
That's right. Our last guy was Jacob, but this is a different one. And he asked specifically about Ephesians 1:4. And here's what this verse says. Just as he, talking about God the Father, chose us in him before the...
In Christ.
That's right, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, right? And so the question here from Jacob is, what does this mean that he's chosen us? And he does make a comment here. He mentions that the Calvinists say that God, that this verse is talking about, is that he chooses who's saved from hell. That he chose us, that he just chose the elect. That being holy and blameless there means, okay, God looked down and said, okay, I'm going to choose these people here to go to heaven, and they'll be holy and blameless forever. And if he didn't choose you, then you're out of luck. And Jacob says that this has caused him much anxiety and has hurt his faith and growth in Jesus Christ. And let me just say before we talk about this, that is a destructive doctrine that says that God only chooses some people. You don't know. You can never know if you're chosen or not. You know, even if you believe, you don't really know if you...
And if you're not chosen, you're toast.
That's right. No matter what
nothing
you do.
Nothing you can do.
That's right.
So. And there's two views there. Either number one, double predestination, God predestined most people to be sent to the lake of fire, or God simply bypassed most of creation, but still, they're all condemned and doomed.
Yeah, the result's the same.
Yeah, the result is the same.
And so I hope, Jacob, that you can throw that once and for all in the trash.
Let me give a quick illustration, Jacob, and for all of you who are listening. I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ at NC State for several years. And when I was there, the campus director at Chapel Hill at University of North Carolina for Campus Crusade, he spoke at a local staff retreat we had, and he was so excited because he had become convinced of something called the doctrine of election. And he was convinced that before the foundation of the world, God chose those who would be born again and those who would not. And he said, this is just so encouraging to realize that God has chosen us, and that since we're chosen, we are people that God specifically picked out before we had done anything. He didn't pick based on anything about us. He simply chose us. And at the time, I didn't get it because I thought, well, why would that be of comfort to me? I mean, it's comforting for me to know I have eternal life by faith in Jesus. But what difference does it make to me if he chose me before the foundation of the world or not? And I later learned when I went to Dallas Theological Seminary that most people who believe in election to eternal life, they believe what you're saying, Ken, that we don't know where we're going. We don't know if we're elect or not. We hope we are. We look for signs we're elect, right? We look at our works and we say, are we on a trajectory that suggests we're going to persevere to the end? And there's no assurance.
Right. And what they say, if you are right now, you can feel somewhat excited about it because there's indications that you're one of them, but you can't know for sure.
But if you get in an argument with your wife,
sure.
Whoops, now I'm probably not going to make it. Road rage, probably not going to make it. And the thing about it is there are many things they're missing in this verse. First of all, the word us in Ephesians 1:4. How does it work? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Who's us?
It's a plural. Obviously, it's a plural here.
Right. But a lot of people think, okay, this us refers to all saved people of all time. Well, no. If you read the book of Ephesians, the first person plural exclusively refers to the church, Jews and Gentiles together in one body.
And you see this really in chapter 2 in Paul's discussion.
Right.
But you really see it throughout the whole book.
Right. But like in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Have you ever noticed that in verses 8 and 9, it's you, and in verse 10, it's we? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Then verses 11 to 22 talks about we and us, saying that the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles has been broken down, and we are now in one body. We are one people, and we're no longer separated, Jews and Gentiles. There's no longer Jew and Gentile in the church. We're all one. And so when he says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, he means he chose the church. Now the question is, what did he choose the church to do or to be?
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
What did he choose the church to do or to be? It's an assumption that he chose the church to have everlasting life. And of course, I assume everybody agrees that there were people who had eternal life who died before the church began.
That's a good point.
Right?
People already had eternal life. Right.
Right.
So this choosing.
And they weren't chosen.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah.
Now, of course, they were chosen as part of the chosen people, Israel. But if they were Gentiles in the Old Testament, they weren't even part of the chosen people in that sense.
And the Jews who believed in the Old Testament were not a part of the church.
Right.
Right.
And in the tribulation, there will be people coming to faith in Christ, and they will be saved. But they're not part of the us here.
Right.
And the same thing with people who come to faith during the millennium. They're not part of the us here. What I would suggest is the implication is he chose the church to serve him.
This goes to Ephesians 2:10. We
right.
are his workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus what?
For good works.
So he chose us for good works. He chose us to serve him.
Now, do you see that the holy and blameless is that? That he has chosen, how would you word that?
Okay.
Obviously, the election here is, what we're saying is the election here, the choosing, is not that God chooses who goes to heaven or hell, but God has chosen the church.
Right. And notice it says, just as he chose us in him, there's an infinitive here, to be, but it's generally translated as the purpose or intended result. So that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. Consistently in Paul's writings, God wants believers to be holy and blameless before Christ, but that's not an automatic. This looks at the judgment seat of Christ, that we would be found holy and blameless before him when we're judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So he's chosen us to do good works as the church, to serve him, so that we might be holy, blameless, and beyond reproach before him at the Bema.
So how do you like wording it like this? that he has tore down the partition wall between us, what separated Jews and Gentiles, and now he has placed us in one body so that now we can work together as one body to accomplish the things that he wants to be done.
Exactly. So that
right.
we might be holy and blameless before him at the Bema.
Yeah, and so what Bob is saying here is that the holy and blameless here is not the declared righteousness that we have in Christ when we believe in Jesus. It is that we might live in such a manner that is holy. That doesn't mean perfect blameless, but that what Paul is saying is that God has chosen the church or predestined the church or elected the church to accomplish his work during this dispensation so that when we stand before the Lord, we would be blameless
at the judgment seat
of Christ.
Let me give you another one. Paul tends to write similar things in similar letters. Look at Colossians 1, 21 to 23. The same expression, holy and blameless, occurs here. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, how? Holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And notice it's conditional. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven of which I, Paul, became a minister. So the point is, if we're going to be presented before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ as holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, which is what God wants for us, he has reconciled us so that we might be that person at the Bema, we must continue in the faith. We must remain steadfast.
And that's what he's chosen the church to do.
Right. He wants all of us in the church to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, he's chosen us to do the good works. He's chosen us to serve him, but with the intended result that we would be holy and blameless before him. But as you said, not everyone in the church is holy, blameless, and above reproach.
And so God has chosen in eternity past that the church would be made up, the body of Christ be made up of Jews and Gentiles together who would work together to accomplish his will upon earth.
That's what he's saying
there.
And
that's the election. And let me just say this to Jacob. Like I said, I know Calvinism and I meet people the same way. Am I the elect? Throw that in the garbage. I mean, what nonsense. You know, they even say that even if you believe, you don't know if you're the elect. And that contradicts...
Because you don't know if you truly believe.
That's right. And
it
you don't,
contradicts John 3:16.
It just contradicts everything. And the
right.
Bible never contradicts itself, Jacob. If you believe, you have eternal life.
Amen, right?
Amen. And also, keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, a building project. Join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.